Talk, as always, from Black on Black on Black, every Monday night, 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific, right here on Radio Valencia, transmissions from the Mission. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. John Hill is my name. Very excited to be in the studio this evening. I wasn't even going to be here, man. I was like, I'm going to take day off. I've been doing the show nonstop, and I've had guests so much. And so I'm like, psh, damn, man, I'm just going to take the night off. And then somebody posted Rolling Stone's top 100 punk songs, and I hit up Daniel from the MAB, and I said, what are we going to do about this? And Daniel said,
I'm equally as mad, and we need to just do our own.
Like, right now. And so he's decided to come on the air tonight with me. Not that he and I are going to do, like, our counter to it as much as we're going to bitch, moan, and complain about the rage bait that is this Rolling Stone article. And then somewhere along the line, we're going to have a guest on. I'm very excited about this. You may have seen the flyers around the city for this Let's Blow San Francisco, this Mayor Daniel Lurie, not to be confused with Daniel from the MAB, Mayor Daniel Lurie porn parody, and they're doing a film, they're doing a casting call. This is a big deal, and so I was able to track down writer, producer, director, Don Francisco, who we're going to try to get on the air like within the next 10 minutes. I mean, really, it's we're going to make this happen. I have questions.
I'm really excited about this. I wonder if I could cut the bill, you think?
Oh, damn.
You think?
That's you might.
I don't know if I would do it.
I don't know. You got to look.
I got to look the part. I could kind of copy the mannerisms.
Okay. We're going to get there. Coming up very soon right here on Radio Valencia.
You know, I know George played a tape of a scientist that was checking out tectonic plates up in Siberia, and it was called The Sounds of Hell, I believe. I'd love for you to play that again because, you know, I've heard about it. I've never heard it, okay? My pastor told me about it, but you know what? I'll tell you right now. What's in the earth? And the sounds of hell, you hear the people in torment.
Well, you listen in. You listen in on the radio here because you're going to hear it right now.
don't even know where that arrives on the list. Did we look that up?
It's like Radio 80, Valencia. 85.
Come on, shut up. That's ridiculous.
That is stupid.
Radio Valencia, transmissions from the mission with myself, John Hell, and...
Daniel!
Yeah, we're here talking about destroying the stupid freaking list of the... Yeah, there it is, 85. Rolling Stone has MC5, Kick Out the Jams, as number 85 on their list of top 100. And I'm not even, like, here, like, why?
That record is perfect. It's influential.
Massively
influential.
Yeah.
I've been listening to that record since, like, sixth grade. I've made friends with that record.
Yeah.
Just like, you guys have to hear this.
This album is amazing.
And it's fucking 85.
And considering, you know, this album came out in 1969. It's this and the opening one, Velvet Underground from 1967. Velvet Underground and Nico, Waiting for the Man. Those, you know, I think Rolling Stone's like, proto-punk. There wouldn't be... Of course, and also, they don't really get into the idea of what is punk.
Right.
So I'm going to ask you, Daniel, if you were to kind of define the term itself, how do you define?
I'm bad.
Okay,
at,
well,
I'm,
first words. First words that come to mind for punk.
Well, energetic.
Yeah.
Well.
Don't hurt yourself. It's okay.
I'm hurting myself. I'm actually having a brain.
The energy.
Stroke. Well, there's the energy.
Yeah.
It's kind of against the, as corny as it is, a status quo.
Yeah.
It's against, you know, kind of the norms of well, first it was the norms of music, and then it kind of got normalized as, you know.
It got commodified.
It did get commodified.
And that's, okay, so that's some of the stuff I'm seeing on this list here is this commodification of the genre, you know, and even the idea of what is a genre and the concept of a genre. I had the musician Mitch Polzak in the studio a few weeks back, and we were talking about genre, and he goes, "Oh, genre, that's made by the record companies."
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that even when Rolling Stone's talking about punk, they're saying the Ramones, it's all about the Ramones' first album. That's when it's all of a sudden welcome into the conversation. Punk is, in my opinion, punk is all about DIY.
Well, you ever heard Vail? What Vail was, I was at City Lights, and V. Vail was talking about punk, and somebody had asked him the same question, well, what do you think punk is?
Yeah.
And I remember his response was to the effect of, like, well, I thought it would happen when I heard the Stooges' first album, and that's right. I mean,
yeah.
And what does that even rank on the list?
Oh, the Stooges'
Did we even look at that? Because
I can't.
It's criminal if it's not in the top. I'll say it's the top five,
right? Funhouse is in the top. Is number eight.
I mean, it should be number one,
right? Yeah. I know. They have it somewhere on the list, and we're certainly going to go look for it, but it doesn't make sense why the first album isn't so far up there. Even Velvet Underground.
And how about the Damned, being at number 90?
Yeah, that's dumb.
That's fucking stupid.
And Velvet Underground's White Light, White Heat is 33. And they are really the band.
God.
If it wasn't, I mean, come on, Heroin, I'm Waiting for the Man, out of Verve Records.
Well, White Light, White Heat specifically, too. I mean, that was like... That album was really fucking cutting edge for the time, I feel like. I mean, it's like, it's noisy as shit.
Yeah.
It's to a point where if you get like a mint copy of that album, you won't even know, right? It's really like
Sister Ray.
Sister Ray.
Yeah, right,
I mean, it's she's too busy sucking on my ding dong shooting say, like, come on.
And I mean, that's as punk as it comes.
Right.
But where would you be? But the fact that I mean, even that album is number 33.
And Dookie is number 20.
Okay, so that's part of the reason Daniel and I are doing this. Green Day is 20, and Nirvana's Nevermind is number 9.
Number 9.
They didn't even choose, like, Bleach. They chose Nevermind.
No, Nevermind is ranked higher than... Hold on. I'm scrolling through this right now because I don't have...
While he's looking for that...
Hold on.
Oh, are you fine?
Nevermind is ranked ahead of The Clash's London Calling, Black Flag's Damage, Patti Smith's Horses, Husker Du's Zen Arcade, which I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it.
I'm not
everybody enjoys them.
X's Los Angeles. and the New York Dolls.
Yeah.
Nevermind is ahead of all of those in terms of the greatest punk.
So we're going to get back to it in a moment, but I do want to let you know we're trying to get this Don Francisco on the line. I understand he's very, very busy. We're trying very desperately to get him on the line. He is the producer, the director, the writer, the casting director. I believe he's also the set decorator and the location scoutmaster for the upcoming porn parody of Daniel Lurie, Let's Blow San Francisco. Very eager to find him and get him on the line. Stay tuned. We are going to have him on soon enough, but we got to get back to it. And Daniel and I have come to a perfect consensus that the next song that we are going to play is without a doubt the most perfect, greatest punk song of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to say about it before you play it?
Not only is it one of the most perfect punk songs of all time, it's probably one of three that I can think of perfect songs in general.
Fascinating.
And I can quickly spout my list. The Stooges, I Want to Be Your Dog, perfect song. Love 7 and 7 Is, perfect song. 13th Floor Elevators, You're Gonna Miss Me, perfect song.
Fully.
Those three songs are fucking perfect,
I can
probably think of more if I sat here for hours, but I can't even think of wording.
So let's get to that first one on your list, because it's the first one on my list. It's a crime, Rolling Stone. How dare you?
Fuck you.
Stooges, I Want to Be Your Dog. Radio Valencia.
I always saw you just before the dawn. When all I'm looking for a kiss. Well, please tell me why most kids are moving so slow. Is it that they just don't have a place to go? When the day starts breaking, the sun is gonna shine. It's hard to sleep if I've been trying. And all the old ladies, they're all on their way to church. To go to church, I bet will I be a lonely one? When they say, when I tell you, got no time for this, 'cause I just got to make it in the power to miss. If there's one reason, I'm telling you this, I feel bad, 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 and I'm looking for a kiss. I'm a looking for a kiss. When everyone's going to your house, they shoot up in your room. Most of them are beautiful, but so obsessed with gloom. I ain't gonna be here when they all get home. They're always looking at me, they won't leave me alone. I didn't come here looking for no sex. I know I've been howling on streets all night long. Just a looking for a kiss. Looking for a kiss.
Cool, right on. All right, so right here on Radio Valencia, transmissions from the Mission John Hell. It's my name. This guy right here is
Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
Oh, that peaked.
I know you were popping your peas, and it went all over the place. New York Dolls from their self-titled. That came out late '73, December '73, I think.
I think that's right.
Yeah, it came out. New York Dolls, and they're looking for a kiss. Yes, indeed. And started off, of course, with the Stooges from their '69 self-titled. When it was only the Stooges with the greatest punk song of all time. You're supposed to say the name. Sorry, he missed the cue.
Wait, I missed the cue.
The greatest punk song of all time.
Oh, I Want to Be Your Dog.
Outstanding, right here on Radio Valencia. So Daniel and I are... we've been rage-baited by Rolling Stone is exactly what's going on here. They've tried to make some damn claim that they know the top 100 punk songs. So, and of course, we've been discussing what makes punk. I think it's the DIY ethos, of course, of the bands, along with, of course, you believe it's also the sort of the fast-driving rhythms.
Right.
But, I mean, would you happen to think, like, bands like the Minutemen didn't always have fast-driving rhythms?
No.
Okay, what makes them punk?
I don't like the Minutemen.
I didn't ask you that.
Well, how about we talk about, like, Flipper, man?
Okay, sure. The antithesis of the fast-driving rhythm. What makes Flipper?
Well, they were going against everything at the time.
Yeah.
Musically. Sure. I'm going to be really bad at this.
Yeah.
But it's, you just, if you know, you know.
He's leaning
in. That's how you identify it.
Sure.
If you know, you know.
I think that was the same thing that former Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, Louis Brandeis, said about porn. If you know,
you know. If you know it, you know.
There you go. So is that the same thing about punk? If you know, you know.
Well, without knowing the specific Supreme Court, what's that referring to?
They're talking about how do you define obscenity?
Oh,
and he said, if you know, it's porn. If you know, you know.
Well,
that, do you like? You guys can take that.
Yeah,
no one else seems to want it. So, speaking of porn, we understand within the next about 5 minutes we're going to get Don Francisco on. Don Francisco is the writer, director, producer. The writer, director, producer of Let's Blow San Francisco. And he's the writer, director, producer. He's the casting director. And we understand he's going to be with us very soon. He's been very busy doing casting calls today. So we're pretty excited about getting him on and seeing what he has to say. Are you thinking about asking him anything? Or what's piquing your curiosity about this porn parody?
I know all I need to know.
Wow, then you know more than I do. Fascinating. Okay, so we want to get back to the music, though, because that's why everybody's here. And I have already been getting quite a number of people commenting about the music at this moment. And no, we're not going to play 100 songs tonight. It's not happening. We're not doing our top 100. But I will ask, what bands do you think are missing that should be there? I mean, one band that you haven't seen yet that should be on the list.
Well, Debris.
Debris.
I mean, and we just talked about that. Debris, Static Disposal.
La Peste?
Oh, La Peste.
La Peste.
We're stupid. The dogs. Fed up.
The dogs are not on the list.
They're not on the list.
No. That's not a real list.
That's stupid.
It's not a real list. All right. Well, do you know what band is on the list?
No. I don't know. Are they? Are the Dead Boys on the list?
They probably are, but they're probably horrifically low.
Well, again, where would we be without Cleveland's Dead Boys?
Well, I will say they did get the Raincoats on the list.
Oh, that's good to know. Did they get Rocket from the Tombs on the list? Where would we be without...
Number 25, the Raincoats.
Where would we be without Peter Lofner and, you know... Rocket for
the
Lude.
Oh, do they have
wait,
the Lude?
The Lude is on the list.
Oh,
no, the Lude should be on
American
the list.
Wino.
Say that again.
The Lude should be on that list.
Thank you, Rob. Are they on the list? Or are you saying they should be
they
on the
should
list?
Be.
Okay,
I doubt they are.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, this is what pisses me off. All right, nobody wants to hear us
I'm
anymore.
I'm scrolling really fast.
Nobody wants to hear us anymore. So
we're
going to play some Dead Boys, and then we'll play the band that they named number one. Can we do that? All right, I don't care. It's my show, Radio One. this is it. This is what we've been waiting for. Don, are you there? Can you hear me? Hold on, I can't hear you, Don. Are you on?
Oh, wait.
You should be on. Are you on mute? Let's hear you. Can't hear you, Don. Don Francisco, we're trying to get him on. Do we have technical issues? Don, talk to us, Don. Can't hear him. I don't know. I'm nervous. Oh, yes, he's checking out the oh, my God. Okay, folks, you can't see him because he's on, even on camera, he's wearing a mask. He doesn't even want to be recognized even on camera, even though this is merely an in-house operation that we're doing. Let's see, I got to figure out. We're checking out the technical sound, the audio. He's clicking buttons. No, he left me. He left me.
What?
He left. I think he's maybe he's very concerned about me. Oh, there he is.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Don, can you hear me?
Jack, can you hear me?
I hear you, yes. Yes, can you hear me, Don?
Right on. I can hear you loud.
This is very exciting.
I just want to say right at the top, I love punk music, and I play it almost every time I take a zoo.
I'm just thrilled that you made it. Did you? So I'm really curious, Don, because we've been really trying. You know, we've been seeing these flyers up and around the city, and it's a lot of people have been questioning. We've had people knocking on our door tonight at the Radio Valencia studios. They're like, "Where is this Don Francisco? I need him to look at. I need him to look at me. I think I'm the perfect person." We keep saying, you know, well, we kept sending him in the wrong direction because we said the casting call is not here tonight. But first, Don, who are you? Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself? Can you hear me, Don?
I can only tell you a little bit.
Yeah, please.
Now, what I can tell you is that Don Francisco... It's an alias to protect my identity. Sorry, I'm getting an audio issue. I've got an echo here.
So you're telling...
I can hear myself and I can hear two of you.
Okay, so, oh, well, you know, all we need is one John Hell. That would be a problem if there was more than one of me. So
right.
So you're saying Don Francisco is an alias. This is not truly who you are. You're keeping this to yourself. You don't want to share anymore. What are you afraid of, Don?
I'm not afraid of anything, but let me level with you. I work at Salesforce Tower, and I'm pretty sure my boss wouldn't want my little passion project tied back to the parent company, but I really want to make it happen, so we just have to do things this way.
So we've had a lot of people curious. I wrote the bold italic. There's been a number of things on Reddit, and you've got this Let's Blow San Francisco at gmail.com, and I understand you're getting quite a bit of people contacting you. And who is the scooter person who's been answering the emails? Can you tell us about Scooter?
Yes. At our email, letsblowsanfrancisco@gmail.com. Scooter's been the point man there. He's been dealing with everything. He's indispensable to the project. He's been dealing with press. He's been being the first line of review on our casting, so that's been fantastic. And you know, he wishes he could be here for the interview to, you know, speak for himself, tell you a little bit more about himself, but you know, I know it was planned, but it kind of fell through. He's just really that busy. There's that much interest.
So you know, where did this start? What's your inspiration for making Let's Blow San Francisco?
Well, John, it's very serious. And I'm making this film to fill a market demand. Some people have really been saying it's a joke, you know, that it's an insult, something like that, and it's not true at all. I'm just going by how my coworkers talk about the mayor. I know this will be a smash hit. People will really enjoy it authentically.
And can you tell us a little bit about the, how serious are you about this, about making this film, and about, you know, what kind of impact are you hoping to make?
John, I'm serious as a heart attack. And, you know, not to be too cynical, but I'm looking to make a lot of money from this venture as well, because I just know it's there.
And, you know, can you tell us a little bit about where you might be shooting this? Have you been scouting locations? How's that been going?
Absolutely, John. It's been taking up a huge amount of my time, actually, just going around to all the big places in San Francisco. I can tell you right now, we're in what's called the blue sky phase. We're very happy with the script as written, but we have a lot of options for where we could shoot the thing. So as I understand it, Muni is shutting down because no one really rides it anyways. So there's a non-zero chance that we could shoot in the Njuta one of these nights.
Very nice. You know,
that could actually be really elegant, too, because it would allow the film to function as a tour of the city, and that's what this is all about. It's all about, you know, how great San Francisco is.
Any other casting locations you're thinking of?
Oh, well, sure. Yeah, if the Enjuta doesn't work out, we could always, you know, use a Waymo instead, the back of a Waymo. That would honestly give us some real control for sightseeing with the film. I'm talking like the Coit Tower, Embarcadero, Haight Ashbury. And look, depending on when we can get this thing into production, maybe even that newly renovated Valancourt Plaza. I'm personally pretty excited about that, and I hear the pickleball down there is amazing.
Hey, pickleball, that's not a pun, is it?
Not at all.
Okay, very good. And also, I'm wondering about some of the characters that you might be using. Is this the kind of thing where, like, you know, the police department come up and say, you know, hey, Mayor Lurie, you know, you help us, we help you. You know, we need the tactical gear. Give me a blowjob. Like, is that a kind of thing? Like, are you thinking about scenes like that?
It's not out of the question. Our current sort of idea is that it will be a POV-style video hearkening towards Daniel Lurie's classic talk-to-camera Instagram posts that he does that are so inspiring for our city. Now, could that be a police officer holding the camera? Definitely. Could it be just a normal San Franciscan resident? Depends on who the mayor is serving that day.
I'm all of a sudden imagining Lurie talking to a cop saying, hey, officer, is that body camera on?
You know,
yeah.
That's actually a really good idea.
You work that into the script. Just, you know, attribute that to John Hill. I'd really appreciate that.
All right.
Yeah, good. And also, what about, I understand your employer, you say you have a little bit of a concern, but what about using the Salesforce Park?
Mm-hmm. You know, I actually eat many of my lunches there, and I just think it's such an exquisite place to spend time. Yeah. I think it's such a wonderful location. I would be worried that there would be too many onlookers for us to be able to legally film it, because we're trying to figure out how that red tape is going to work.
Sure.
And obviously, we don't want to expose anyone who doesn't want to see our film. We're just looking to do everything above board, and, you know, for the love of the game, we're just looking to make the best gay adult film starring a Daniel Lurie impersonator that we possibly can.
There's a tremendous amount of euphemisms in what you just said. I can see a follow-up eating ass at Salesforce Park with Daniel Lurie.
We'll see what happens.
Lunchtime in the park. What about are you getting any pushback? Anybody contacting you with threats or concerns?
No. I think, you know, the response has been totally positive. We'll see, you know, if the mayor's office reaches out and, you know, maybe wants to wrap into our film some sort of promotion having to do with some great thing that they're doing for our city. But other than that, we're pretty much on our own, just sort of figuring this all out. You know, it's my first time doing anything like this. I really, you know, who knows what could happen.
Yeah, and I am curious about that. Do you think about maybe yourself reaching out to the mayor's office and trying to, you know, get them involved? I mean, come on. He really is excited about entertainment and tourism. This could be just the thing he's looking for.
You're totally right, John, but I'm choosing to do that through the public forum.
Oh, yes.
You know, with Scooter's help and all this flyering we're doing, we're getting the word out on the streets to the people, you know, not just to the mayor's office. This should be a democratized sort of thing. I want everyone involved.
And I've got a lot of people contacting me right now live on the show asking me about casting calls. What do you have in store? I know that you got the emails, but are you thinking about doing a live casting call?
Right. So I want to reiterate. Well, people are totally encouraged to email in their submissions to letsblowsanfrancisco@gmail.com. Like, it would be maybe you in a suit doing your best Daniel Lurie impression, 2 to 5 minutes long. No other skills necessary to, you know, show in that clip. But we're also entertaining the idea of doing something publicly, maybe in-person auditions at, like, Dolores Park. We'll see what we can get together. And we could even maybe have, like, a stock package for the person who's the best impersonator.
Oh, I can imagine. I was also going to ask, like, who might be involved along with yourself and Scooter when it comes to these casting decisions?
Well, to be honest, we are a very trimmed down team. Me and Scooter are the, you know, two guys with a crazy idea that are putting this whole thing together.
Yeah.
So it's up to us, really. But, you know, we care about the public's opinion. We consider this a public service.
And what about once you're ready, once the film is all set, are you thinking about how you're going to distribute this?
Oh, well, I expect, based on our current response, you know, we've got a lot of positive press coverage. Everybody loves the idea. I expect that we could, you know, sky's the limit. Alamo Drafthouse, full screen. I mean, who wouldn't want to go to that?
Well, how about the Castro Theater?
Well, the Castro would be, you know, better even. My goal is to get every theater involved with it. It could be a one-night cinematic event.
You could do, like, an outdoor showing. How about an outdoor showing on one of those inflatable screens in Civic Center Plaza right across from his office?
Well, listen, John, we're going to be in conversation with this, so I know that you're plugged in to the type of people that like making positive things happen for our city, so I'm sure that together we'll be able to put something together that'll really, you know, stand the test of time.
I appreciate your time, Don Francisco. I hope everybody who's listening is and who feels that they may have what it takes, or maybe you know somebody that should be applying for this position. And once again, it's tell us the email one more time.
Let'sblowsanfrancisco@gmail.com.
And do you have a closing date? Do you have a deadline you want people to get this in by?
Not specifically, as our project is sort of just in its beginning stages. But I will close saying this. Absolutely, I want to stress that all of your listeners understand that we are looking for every person. Right? I want to encourage people to nominate their friends and family, even if they have even a passing resemblance to Daniel Lurie. You know, does your father need a job? Right? We're just trying to do some good for the city here. So if you know someone, send them our way and we'll set them straight, okay?
Outstanding. Don Francisco, everybody, thanks so much for giving us a call tonight or taking our call. Good luck on your project. We can't wait to see the final version. And maybe if you need some help on the editing room floor, maybe Radio Valencia can assist.
My pleasure, John. And I just want to say, as I sign off, let's blow, San Francisco.
Outstanding. Right here on Radio Valencia. Let's get back to it. Dictators.
Cars and girls, cars and girls, cars and girls. There's nothing else in this gosh darn world except for cars. Soderquist. I squeeze his head right into my fist. Some come a tracking in. What is it? What's a prediction? Picture is fiction.
Radio Valencia, Friction. There's some music there from Television, from the classic Marquee Moon. Was that on the list, by the way?
No.
Yeah, no,
was it really?
I think so, yeah.
It wasn't high enough, clearly.
Oh, my God. We have a council now.
Apparently, we have an advisory board in the room.
They did advise us. Oh, yeah.
Jaco Homo there, Devo, off of the 1978 Are We Not Men. The Clash in there from their self-titled from 77, I'm So Bored with the USA, Aren't I Too? And from 1975, The Dictators, I Like Cars and Girls, off of Go Girl Crazy. John Hell is My Name. This is Hell's Kitchen Radio on a Monday night with a live studio audience. This is becoming regular, along with
Daniel.
You missed the freaking.
What's the cue?
It's the one I say along with.
When he points his
you gotta get ready. But wait a minute, who else is in the studio?
It's Jasper.
Who you can hear on Saturday.
From 4 to 6, broadcast from Limbo. Every week.
That's pretty good. And you came down. Who else we got here, Rob?
Got Rob from the Seagulls and the Ific, and you can see us on 5 o'clock to 5:45 at Porch Fest at the Chapel.
I love it. And who'd you bring with you?
This is my friend Heather.
Hi, Heather.
Hey.
Welcome down. Okay, you didn't know you were going to be getting in on all this, did you, Heather?
I did not.
Okay, Marquee Moon is number 21.
Okay, yeah, okay. Let me say something. That's okay. You know what? Yes. I'm going to be good with that one. So we are ripping apart the Rolling Stones' top 100 punk songs of all time. That Daniel and I were like, this has got to be straightened out.
21 is Marquee Moon. But behind it, 22.
Yeah.
Is Minor Threat's complete discography.
Shut the hell up. Like, what is that? Who made these decisions?
But Sleater-Kinney was number 4.
But
why?
Oh, my God.
Why? Who made these decisions?
Dick Kennedy's, of course, was number 78 or whatever.
From Fresh Fruit.
And Fresh Fruit, one of the greatest records ever made.
Absolutely.
Makes me want to become violent.
And also, the Raincoats rank higher than the Slits.
Which, that's criminal.
Sleater-Kinney ranks even higher.
That's worse. It like cancels everything out.
I know.
It's like, you know.
Okay, so wait, can somebody go to the top 10?
Going through this list is like going to the doctor's office after getting like a cancer diagnosis. It's like, yeah, it's not aggressive, and then it's like you go back and it's like, oh,